Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Halloween, Atlanta. It's your boys. You want to party with us and let's hang out, man, for our radio adventure on Halloween. Shawn Michaels scared, not the daylights out of me, but scared maybe a little bit out of me earlier this morning. So I came around the corner, looked, and I see Michael Myers. And Michael Myers, of course, one of my... One of the boogeymen that had the greatest impact on me in terms of scaring the living daylights out of me. Dude, so I came, I'm 48 years old, so put, or is it 49? I can't remember. I came up with Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger. Like, that was, I was a teenager in my early 20s. Like, that was my horror movie wheelhouse, man. And Shawn Michaels is the spitting image of Michael Myers today.
Minus the bloody machete or the big scalpel that I'll carry around the neighborhood later. I've got to stop by Party City and get a fake.
You know, you're going to get a scalpel.
You'll find one at Party City. They have all the fake ones. You know the thing that just scared me? I look behind the glass and I see Bo Morgan instead of Paul Bible. That's a scary sight at 10:02 in the morning.
He was just as toothy as McElwain right there.
Except his teeth are actually clean, unlike Jim McElwain's.
Who had the shot calling him candy corn teeth?
Oh, I don't know.
Or Jim McElwain.
That's funny.
I heard somebody refer to them as candy corn teeth. Might have been one of our callers. I don't know. But happy Halloween, everybody. Hopefully everybody's ready for a great day. The kiddies in the neighborhood tonight with the candy and the whole thing.
Now, I got to ask Paul and Mark, were your kids able to go to school slash daycare with costumes on? Kane, now they were allowed to wear costume but no mask. So Kane's got his full Darth Vader cape, shield, lightsaber, everything. He just couldn't wear a mask.
Oh, yeah. I just got the picture from Gretchen. Yep. Caroline's all dressed up like Rapunzel this morning.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She was either going to be that or Jason Voorhees with blood coming out of her neck. And I guess it was probably good since she goes to preschool at church. Probably keep it princess.
Nice. Well played.
Now, we saw a brony downstairs.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did.
You did not.
At Chick-fil-A.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's a brony down
did
there.
Did you call the cops?
No, because it was a woman dressed as My Little Pony. But
oh, it was a woman.
Yeah, so I guess that's a rony.
Count.
Is that a rony? Like Bobby Brown said, a rony?
I'm afraid of the bronies, man. Keep your kids away from the bronies. That's all I can say.
And now that Bo's out of my chair, no, my kids were not allowed to dress up to go to school today.
Really?
Yeah, no costumes allowed.
That's crazy. Like, you know what? You want to talk about political correctness that needs to stop? Halloween's a fun holiday. Why can't kids dress up for school?
Oh, and by the way, do kids enjoy any holiday more than Halloween? Maybe one, Christmas?
Yeah.
So let them have their fun. I'm hearing all these stories right now. My boys are up in Minnesota, but Kane can't wear a mask, strike one. Mm-hmm. And Preacher Man's kids can't even wear a costume, strike two. Come on, man.
Allegedly, it would be distracting if kids came to school wearing
a
costume.
It's another example of the wussification of America.
Okay, wear the mask down the hallway. When you get into class, take the mask off and set it next to you. First of all, my son's four-fifths of the way dressed as Darth Vader. You don't think that's distracting? Like, if he has to go to the bathroom, he has to almost completely unrobe because it's got the stupid thing in the back.
Does he have a lightsaber?
He does. I didn't have him bring that, though. I just said, you know what, the lightsaber. That, you know, the next thing you know, then there's kids trying to grab it. There could be an all. No, so we left that at home. But it's ridiculous. Let the kids dress up. I've seen more people here at Colony Square dressed up than I did going to elementary school this morning.
Here's the thing with John's outfit. He's completely selling it. So, of course, Michael Myers, it wasn't just a dude in a flannel shirt and jeans. It was a dude, and you remember early in Halloween, he had to kill a mechanic, and then he stole the mechanic's outfit. So it's essentially a dark blue onesie, and John has a dark blue
Dickie shirt on,
and then dark blue jeans. So, like, you got the whole outfit going, dude.
And it's the look. You just have to give the eyes like you are three-fourths of a crazy person. And I've got that down pretty good. I work with Mark and Paul every day. Why wouldn't I be three-fourths of a crazy person? Emo, how are you doing this morning? Are you going to dress up, or you just sit on the house and hand out candy?
Nope, she's Rapunzel, and I'm going as Flynn Rider. slash Eugene, her prince. Nice. So, yeah, I showed Rick some pictures earlier. I'm at the point now where I love doing the – like last year she was Ariel and I was King Triton. Actually, last year I was a zombie Georgia fan. But a couple years ago she was Ariel, I was King Triton. So I'm enjoying this while we can because we're going to a huge neighborhood trick-or-treat party. The parents just walk around pulling the wagons full of beer. We just sit around and just drink beer and watch the kids go trick-or-treat.
How come everything for your life turns into when you can drink? Hey, we're going to go to the Georgia game so I can drink.
Everything in my life turns into a tailgate.
Oh, well, there's that.
Any excuse just to walk around and have a cold, cold one in hand, and when she goes to bed, rifle through her candy.
Paul, was I wrong to wear the mask in traffic today and just give people dirty looks?
Oh, heck no. I mean, today's the day you can get away with it and not get in trouble.
Dude, that is surreal. You wore it in your car on the way to work?
Not the whole way, but once I got into bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I would just look at people like, are you really going to cut me off?
That's dope, dude. You definitely trip people out with that. There's no doubt about that.
Preacher man in the that's a... Yeah.
Well, I got to give a shout-out to Chuck. He's a manager at Publix in Johns Creek. Listens to the station regularly. It's the only thing on his pre-dial.
What's up,
so
Chuck?
I met him yesterday. Nice guy, and that's what's up.
This is the 5 at 10, the five biggest stories making headlines with Rick Kemmel and John Michaels.
5 at 10.
The 5 at 10 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Health-wise, we came through well. We may have a few players limited to some extent on Wednesday, but at this point, no one that will be out.
It's Dan Quinn talking about the injuries for the Falcons. Good news there. One of the guys that will be limited, Devontae Freeman, apparently had a shoulder injury of some sort at the end of the game. I will tell you, nothing was reported. Devontae was standing right behind Dan Quinn, so I don't know if there was a scenario where he could have gone back into the game. They needed to run three more plays. They did. Tevin Coleman got us to the point where you punted, and then the defense got the game under control from there. But good sign there going back on the road for your first divisional game that nobody sounds significantly injured. It looks like we will be as healthy as we can be going against the Carolina Panthers.
Well, John, as you're talking about a Devontae injury, it takes me back to what I said last week about how I want Devontae to be the bell cow in this offense. And I told you last week, it's not going to happen. They're going to continue with the split backfield, and I'm not going to trip out about it. It's just my preference. But two people, John, who are saying, see, Kamla, this is why you don't make Devontae Freeman the bell cow back. I say, how's David Johnson working as a bell cow back?
Yeah, not working.
He died. Le'Veon Bell.
He's doing better now.
Right, but he's a soft tissue injury waiting to happen, right? Mm-hmm. He's a bell cow guy. Dalvin Cook was the bell cow guy up in Minnesota. How's he doing right now?
Yeah, not so good.
My point is, these are great backs, and I love all of these guys. But it's not necessarily about, dude, guys who are 225 and 230 mm-hmm. get hurt too.
Yep.
And so I'm just saying, I love me some Devontae Freeman, so I just had to say that because I know you're out there in your car trying to take shots at Kamla's take last week.
Hey, there's your hot take. Let's move on. Number two on our 5 at 10, Monday Night Football. Well, it's time for the Trevor Siemian experiment to end if you're a Denver Bronco fan. And Kansas City rights the ship after losing a couple of games. They go on to win 29-19. Five turnovers by the Denver Broncos, including Jamaal Charles. So horrible that when Jamaal Charles comes in, he breaks off like an 11-yard run, and ESPN's going, yeah, it's the homecoming, and he'll be in the ring of honor. And the very next carry, boop, ball on the ground, and Kansas City starts laughing and going, well, that's the Jamaal Charles that we remember from earlier on. Trevor Siemian's not an NFL quarterback right now. Three interceptions again. Denver could cost themselves a playoff with a guy that had a great start and has been awful the last couple of weeks.
Well, the thing about Trevor Siemian, he's a backup quarterback who's being thrust into a starting role incorrectly. They should have made the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. We're going to talk about that in just a second. John, it was another unwatchable NFL game. And last week was better. It was an uptick, especially the first half of the first games in the 1 o'clock window. But last night's game was unwatchable. Let's move on to number three in our 5 at 10 because I'm psyched about cue the hot take thing again. Because this is the greatest NFL trading deadline ever.
Hot take.
All right, but seriously, it is. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo going from New England to San Francisco in exchange for a second round pick. John, the fantasy take here. Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin, now in play. You might want to pick them up. You also have Seattle getting left tackle Dwayne Brown from Houston for Jeremy Lane, a fifth-round pick and a future second. The entire Seattle offense gets a boon here. And Philadelphia and Miami just made a trade that shocks me.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi going to Philly in exchange for a fifth-round pick. Now, John, there's major fantasy ramifications here. First of all, Ajayi's numbers are going to be up with Philly because they traded him. They're going to give him the carries. Blunt, Smallwood, Clement can probably find the waiver wire right now. And in Miami, it's going to be Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams, Williams in a split backfield. But I like the Alabama kid, Kenyon Drake. I always liked him there. If I have my pick of those two in fantasy, I would take Drake. Do you not agree?
No, I think Damian Williams will probably be the starter. Drake will be the guy that's going to get more of the passing situation. They've done that mostly. Damian Williams had been the third down, and Kenyon Drake had sort of been the wild card. I think, and this could, I could be wrong with that, but I think Damian Williams will be the starter. But does this put Philadelphia as now the preeminent favorite in the NFC? You're talking about adding a guy a year ago that ran for 1,200 yards. Now, granted, this year he's only averaging 3.4 yards a carry. But you go to Philly where he's not going to be the guy that everybody focuses on. You've got to stop Carson Wentz in that passing game. Now you add a young bull of a running back in Jay Ajayi. Philadelphia is a scary team right now.
I already thought that they were the top contender in the NFC, but John, you're right. They doubled down on it, and now it proves that they want to win a Super Bowl right now this year, and this is a big-time go-for-it move. All right, let's move on. Number four.
Hold on. You
got one more thing?
Well, one more. We got to mention Ezekiel Elliott, the suspension back on. We didn't talk about that. The six-game suspension back on. There'll be another appeal. Shocking that there'll be another appeal. But as of right now, Zeke Elliott suspended the next six games. That includes next week against the Atlanta Falcons.
So you're telling me that right now we are back to Darren McFadden, Alfred Morrison, thinking about them on the waiver wire. All right, we'll have more on that. The World Series gets back to work tonight. John, I heard the morning show, and I love the morning show, and I'm not disagreeing with them because we're all guessing in terms of what's going to happen in these wacky games. But they were kind of thinking that maybe, you know, it's going to be game seven, you know, and all this. Expect the unexpected. Mm-hmm. So if you think it's going to be a game seven, the Astros may just go in there and win tonight. Again, not calling anybody out. I'm just saying we all are guessing on this. I just saw Clayton Kershaw get bombed for six earned runs. Anything is possible tonight.
It absolutely is. I called Houston in seven to start the series, but you got to love their pitching matchup tonight. It's Justin Verlander, who they traded for, who's been great throughout these playoffs, against Rich Hill. Rich Hill's a decent starting pitcher. He's not Justin Verlander. LA's got to find that home crowd mojo to try to get it to Game 7. I'd like to see Game 7 just for the fact that we've had a tremendous playoff so far. And who doesn't want two more baseball games?
Exactly. I mean, I want Game 7 too. But at the same time, John, I'm not going to be cheering against the Astros tonight. It's not like I have pom-poms and pumping my fist and all this. But I do want the Astros to win. And, John, what a spot for Justin Verlander, who is sort of teetering on that Hall of Fame level anyway. Well, this is a Hall of Fame platform for you, bro. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to close out the Dodgers and win a World Series with a big-time start tonight, and I think they're going to get that big-time start tonight.
Paul will tell you via Twitter, I had called the Astros before the series, but you know there's somebody that's on the Dodgers bandwagon that may make me change my affiliation. Just go look at my Twitter page, at JohnMichaels929, and you'll know what I'm talking
about. What's her name? The Million girl?
That's her.
Is that her? She's on the she's a South California girl, right?
Well, she's from New York, but she lives in L.A.
Okay, there you go.
And
she's a bandwagon Dodger fan.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now you're all about the Dodger.
I'm not all about them, but it made me rethink my pick there for a second. And finally, number five in our 5 at 10 tonight, the first college football playoff top 25 rankings will be announced. Do not panic. There's a month of college football left. If your team's not ranked where you want them to be, there's a month of college football left. I cannot stress that enough, Rick Kamla.
Oh, you're right. There's no question about it. But people are going to get in their feelings and get sensitive and get butthurt because that's what college football fans do.
We take a break. We come back. DQ, he had his presser. What do you have to say after a Falcons victory? We hear from Dan next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We would say we can take our run game better than we did yesterday, and I think we have at times this year. So we're still committed to it, you know, and a down day is still, you know, having over 100 yards for us because of our commitment to that.
That's Dan Quinn, and this is Rush. Sounds so good, man. Emo, thank you for that great rejoin music here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. I wonder if DQ is a fan of Geddy Lee and the legendary Rush. It is Halloween, and we wish you all a happy Halloween. I'm looking over at John's Michael Myers mask right now. It is off of his dome, but John does have the Dickies shirt on that's taking me back to Halloween 1 and 2. And I'm actually coming up with my list right now, John, and our slice of life coming up in, 15 minutes. Your best scary movie. I'm going to challenge myself to do a top 10, and I want to put it out on Twitter, like my top 10 favorite scary movies. So hopefully I can have that done in the next 15 minutes. But DQ, as you know, John, meets the press every Monday.
He does, and he just talked about the running game. But while you're talking about scary movies, we've got a Vision Computers Twitter poll up at Rick and John 929. I put a Vision Computers Twitter poll up of my own last night, and Mark Owens has added to it at Rick and John 929.
So we're asking you on this Halloween, what's the best or your favorite classic Halloween or horror movie series? Now, classic is the key word there. So you've got Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, or any Stephen King movie.
Wow.
That's a tough one.
So anything from Stephen King. So somebody responded with Scream. Good series.
Yep, definitely.
But that is a little more new.
Saw.
Saw.
So not classic.
Yeah, not classic. Saw's a little more modern. So think
old school.
How
about Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
That's a great one. And they've remade that twice.
Yeah.
Now. And I think they even had a remake like in 2012, another one in 2016 that weren't as good.
Do you guys have a phobia or like a really strong fear of chainsaws? I will not even pick up a chainsaw.
Yeah, me neither.
It could be sitting there, not plugged in, not even turned on. I ain't touching the chainsaw.
Nope. I don't mess with chainsaws.
I'm afraid of losing, you can just imagine losing an arm and what spurts out. And I'm out on chainsaws.
I'll be honest, I don't do saws in general. Like, I'll do the hand saw where you just, like, cutting through a piece of wood. I'm not doing any mechanical saw. I've seen For Love of the Game where Kevin Costner almost lost a hand. I've watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre where they basically sawed up body parts. No,
yeah,
I'm good.
Not cool.
I'm out
not
on cool. saws. All of you that are out there cutting down trees, like I won't mess with the tree chipper either, the one where you shove a branch in there and...
It reminds me of Fargo.
Yeah, I'm not messing with that. No.
Remember that scene in Fargo? That wasn't cool.
God bless all of you that deal with those power tools.
That's reading the book It. The book is 10 times worse than the original movie.
What's reading?
Yeah, what works together, form a sentence, left to right, paragraphs.
Right.
And I couldn't finish the book, and this was back in high school, and it scared the fool out of me. And I won't watch the movie, and I will not watch the remake either.
LeBron James, by the way, was dressed as Pennywise. He had an awesome costume. Preacher Man, you look like a saw guy. Like, you just go out there and you'll do all of that stuff.
I got no problem with that.
I'm sure you don't.
This guy right here.
Have you made the kids yet use a saw?
No, my kids are too irresponsible right now. I mean, my 11-year-old, I'm still waiting for that, the switch to click in his head to figure out what responsibility actually is.
Yeah, Paul actually goes and looks at the tree and says, fall over.
He just shoots it down. He just goes, and the tree falls.
Have you ever used a shotgun to try to shoot a tree down? Boom!
I've used a shotgun to shoot at a tree. I don't know if I did shoot it down. That's a whole other issue.
Damn, tree was looking at my wife.
All right, let's do some... Let's hear some Quinn. We'll get back to the Halloween stuff coming up here in just a moment. But we are all eager for division games. The NFL has now set it up where you don't get to play teams in your division as early as you used to, or you play very few early in the year. For the Falcons, it'll be the calendar month of November before you get a chance to play Carolina. Here's DQ talking about this week's upcoming divisional game.
Back at the beginning of the offseason and training camp and even the regular season, we put an emphasis on the division. And now we finally get back to do that. And they're special because you only get six of them. And this happens to be our first one. So we're expecting a straight-up battle with them up in Charlotte this weekend. We can't wait to get the preparation beginning for that.
But, John, here's the thing. Our division is so improved this year, right? I mean, New Orleans, guys, is legit. And I know that we don't have them on our schedule this week. We get Carolina. I don't know if y'all have been watching these Saints, man. They have won five games in a row.
Yeah.
Okay, they're 5-2. Mm-hmm. In their defense, we pooped on it early in the season. All the preseason chatter about the defense has changed. It's a new culture. We're flying around. We got great young players. Yeah, right. We'll believe it. You watch the Saints and you see them swarm to the football. You see them turning people over. It was very difficult for Chicago to do anything on Sunday. So, and then you've got Tampa Bay. Obviously, they're a talented team with a Dirk Cutter problem. But, John, Carolina is a resurgent ball club. And, oh, by the way, Luke Kuechly got out of the concussion protocol and was able to come back and play last week. So now we got Kuechly running down our guys this week. This is going to be a war, dude.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Carolina's a team that knows how to play you. They love to play the Bills sort of plodding pace. They want to run it slowly. You know, they want to make it easy for themselves. They want to time a possession you. They want to hit a chunk play here and there. They want to swarm you on defense. They want all of those things, and if they can do that, they get you into their kind of game. What they don't want to do is play the games that they played against the Falcons a year ago, where our offense got off to running, they got off to doing a whole bunch of stuff, and scoring a lot of points. So,
yep, no doubt, dude.
There are certain things that, you know, if you can get Carolina into a catch-up mode, they're absolutely going to be in trouble. Hey, let's talk about what Dan Quinn had to say as well with creating turnovers or lack thereof.
We haven't created the takeaways like we can, and it's not a reflection of us not going after. I do feel like we are. When those opportunities do come to take advantage, to make the interception, to make the play, we can do better at that spot for sure.
I mean, you got to turn the ball over, yep, bro. And you know, we talked yesterday about needing more of the big vicious hits from Keanu Neal. And can we catch a break? Now, John, we are getting some luck this year. Bellamy drops the TD pass in the Chicago game. We get the Golden Tate 10-second runoff thing in the Detroit game. And we documented eight pieces of good fortune in Sunday's win over the New York Jets. But, my God, every fumble or tip ball we have goes to the opposition. And then, like, we get a tip pass in it and it lands, you know, softly on the ground. Or, you know, the other team has center quarterback exchange problems and they land on it. Come on. We need some turnovers, bro.
We do. I mean, Josh McCown fumbles the snap and it one hops right back to him. You have Robbie Anderson have a ball bounce off his chest right back to him. Anytime we do that, it ricochets for an interception. Before we hear more Dan Quinn, we've got some Western witticisms from Dave Archer. Text I got from Arch in regards to chainsaws. You guys are wimps, and I'm paraphrasing.
There's no question about that.
Because the words that he used are not appropriate for air. No chainsaws? Come on, man.
No, I get it. I mean, Arch is, he's the mountain man. He's the ranger. He's the Renaissance man. He's all that stuff. He may even be a certifiable cowboy, John. He may have cowboy boots and a cowboy hat in his damn closet. You call me a wimp for wanting to stay away from chainsaws?
I am.
I'm guilty as charged, son.
I am street tough. I'm not mechanically tough. I'm not changing a spark plug. I ain't sticking my hand in the under the engine to unloosen a bolt. Don't ask me to change much of anything in the house. But get me out on the streets. We'll throw some hands.
But I'll be the only white guy at the club.
Doing the white guy wiggle.
I'll have a machete tonight. It'll just be of a plastic nature. I won't have an actual machete. And I do have a machete in my house. I'll never use it. I mean, I had it for protection. Like, you come upstairs, I'll swing it at you. Dude, I'm not going outside to chop down a tree. I have a paycheck, and there are people that make money to do that. So I'll gladly hand it over to
you. Now, you said axe, right?
No, I have a machete.
Oh, you have a machete. I will wield an axe. I'll chop some wood with an axe.
Really?
Why not?
No chance.
I'm not worried about, you know, blasting my shin with an axe. I'll use an axe. I'm not going with the chainsaw. And the whole thought of a horror movie with a chainsaw is the chainsaw meeting the flesh.
Yeah.
And I'm out. Like in Chainsaw or in Scarface.
Uh-huh. When they have the little hand saw.
They're in the bathroom with the chainsaw. I can't do it, dude. I'm out. I'm a wimp right now. I can't do horror movies. I told Charity the other day, we're up late watching movies, and she put, like, Chucky on, or Bride of Chucky, and there's a family at the beginning of the movie, and Chucky, like, hides behind, you know, a bed or something. I go, Chucky's about to kill this family right now, isn't he? You know, it's a little daughter and a man and a wife. And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's a Chucky. Turn it. We got to find something else. And so we did. I can't do it. I can't deal with people dying anymore.
Is this season of Fuller House on?
For real. You know what movie we watched?
That's about my style.
You know what movie we watched? We watched Keanu. It's a great movie about a gangster cat. It was phenomenal.
It's not.
And she had never seen it, and she liked it.
Hey, let's hear
I
one.
I gotta say, you have some of the worst taste in movies I've ever heard of. I mean, we try to get you to watch the classics, which you adamantly refuse to do, even though you stole two DVDs.
Did not steal them. They were given to me.
That was stolen.
They were loaned.
A jack move.
Now they're stolen.
And back when I bought them, they were
so not a jack.
They were $24.99 a piece.
Hey,
let's hear one more Dan Quinn.
If I win the Arden Key juice box bet, you don't have to pay it. How about that? Are we even?
Yeah, we'll call that even. We're even right now in Oklahoma and Penn State. They both have a loss.
Yes, we are, unfortunately.
Hey, let's hear one more from Dan Quinn. Let's fast forward down to Devontae Freeman. That's obviously important. Will he play or not? Here's Dan Quinn talking about Devontae Freeman's status.
He'll be limited some on Wednesday, but he won't be out. So he'll be fine, ready to play.
Oh, he said he won't be out.
Yeah.
He said Devontae Freeman won't be out.
Yeah.
That means we have nothing to worry about. We can just continue on with our Halloween with a big smile on our face.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And a strong, strong fear of chainsaws.
So if I were to walk in here and just bring like a small chainsaw and set it on the table.
It's going
to
trip me out the whole day. Now, if you came through that door and it was like, bah, bah, I mean, I'm running, dude. I'm literally running.
I got a feeling that's an HR violation. If I bring a chainsaw in, I may have to read the CBS corporate handbook. We take a break. We come back. When we get back, it's Slice of Lifetime. What's the best scary movie of all time? We'll break those next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Saw.
The Game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Slice of Life is brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget. With an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. And we're about to do a radio segment that has been done an infinite amount of times, ranging from Alaska to Miami to here in Atlanta. Your favorite scary movies on Halloween. Yes, it is a recycled bit for sure.
Should we do it in like cheesy radio guy voice? Hey, we're going to break down the top 100 Halloween movies.
Can you imitate Casey Kasem? Maybe we could get into that.
I cannot.
Okay, I completed my list. I don't have it on Twitter yet, but I've come up with my top 10 favorite scary movies. Okay, not the best. These are my personal faves. And before I give you this list, I got to go around the room because I went to RottenTomatoes.com for their top 100 horror movies of all time to give me sort of a basis to jog my memory. And I want to go around the room. What do you think was the top-rated horror movie of all time on RottenTomatoes.com?
Psycho.
Close, but no cigar. M.O. Top-rated horror movie on RottenTomatoes.com.
Shining?
Again, great call. That's not the one. Preacher Man, what do you think it is? Take your shot.
Poltergeist.
Another great call.
That's a good
call.
It
is not the one. Get Out is the number one horror movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's just because it's the most recent that's come out. That's a bunch of crap.
For the win, we go to The Preacher Man. It's a recency bias thing. It gets a score of 99%, adjusted score. Well, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. I knew you guys wouldn't get that. Get Out is not the greatest horror movie of all time, and I just saw it recently, and I liked it a lot, but it is not the greatest horror movie of all time.
It was creative. It played into a lot of stereotypes. I'll be honest, I didn't know until halfway into the movie that it was a scary movie. And then when it got, I said, is this supposed to be like a scary movie? I said, okay, I'm not scared at all, but you understand the psychologicalness to the movie. It was good. It wasn't great. The ones that we named are 1,000 times better than Get Out.
There's a bunch better. All right, so here's my top 10. Number 10, Night of the Living Dead, the old one, the black and white one.
Okay.
It's just crazy. You got to go. It's classic horror. World War Z at 9. 8, Zombieland. 7, Aliens. Not the first one, the second one with the S on it. Ridiculously scary. 6, Friday the 13th, Part 1. 5, Halloween, Part 1, in honor of John and Michael Myers and his outfit today. 4, 28 Days Later. 3, 28 Weeks Later.
Okay.
Probably the most stressful movie I've ever seen.
I've noticed a trend that you're really big into the zombie dead people flicks.
I'm a monstrous fan of zombie movies. Okay. Love them all. Number 2. The Shining. And number 1, I've said this before, I'll say it again, Evil Dead 2.
Okay.
If you have not seen Evil Dead 2 and you like horror movies that aren't scary but kind of funny and kind of campy and super creative and awesome, Evil Dead 2 is your movie.
All right, here's the ones that I will talk about, the ones that I like the best. And I actually watched this one last night. No surprise, Halloween, the original one. Now, watching it today, and I was telling Paul this before the show, I now know when Michael Myers is going to kill the people, so it's not, you know, when I first saw that music hits and the ding, 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 it scared the living crap. And I actually walked in, my dad was watching the movie as like a 4-year-old, 1979 when that movie came out, and I saw that and just...
You saw it at 4 years old?
I didn't see the movie, he was watching it in a room in our house, and I walked in and you see this... You know, this crazy person with a mask on, and that music scared the living crap out of
him. So he's like, get out of here.
Yeah, go to bed. What are you doing up? I'm in like my, you know, my Darth Vader underoos or whatever, and I got sent to bed at that point. That's my favorite scary movie of all time. Now I just look, and Michael Myers stabs the guy to the wall, and he just kind of looks at his work like, yeah, bro, I just killed this dude. Like, that movie is awesome. The Shining scared the living crap out of me. We go in crappy hotels every now and then, and you look and you go, that's a scene from The Shining. Like, you're just waiting for a kid on a tricycle to come around the corner screaming, red rum. That's one. Exorcist, I can't watch. I saw that years ago. I cannot watch that again. That movie, she did the spinning head and the green pea soup that she pukes everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Nope, I'm good. That's
straight from hell.
Scary, blank movie. The original Poltergeist is a mind blank. It's not like jump out scary. It's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How did all those chairs just show up in that? And why is this tree grabbing this kid through the window? So that was great. The original Scream. Now, it wasn't scary. it was creative, and it came with a new genre of scary movies in the late 90s. We got tired of the mask guy that was the slasher. We all had that. The original Nightmare on Elm Street, because, again, it created a genre, a killer who talked, and he wasn't, you know, walking down the street. He showed up in your dreams. That was awesome.
He talked smack is what he talked.
Oh, yeah. You're going to die. And then the final one, Saw. The original one. I didn't like when there were
seven. Can't do it, John. It involves sawing. I'm out.
You didn't see the original
one? No, I have not seen one Saw movie or one death scene in any Saw movie. I'm out on the Saw.
When dude sat up at the end of I watched that in the movie theater. When dude sat up after laying dormant, fake dead for the entire duration of the movie.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, if you haven't seen the originals. He sat up. Everybody in the movie theater went, holy bleep! Like, it was completely, nobody saw it coming. It was an awesome movie. Mark Owens.
You know, they got the Jigsaw movie coming out.
I won't
see
it.
It may be out now.
Yeah, I'm good.
Based around Saw.
Does it involve a saw and
flesh?
Well,
it's based on the series.
Yeah, I'm out. Enjoy yourself with that, though.
Horror movies that scare me to this day. Big Mama's House 2. Dumb and Dumber 2. Adam Sandler flick, That's My Boy. All just make me cringe.
Soul Man.
Horrible.
One of the worst movies ever made.
Disorderlies, Break Into, Electric Boogaloo, Police Academy, Mission to Moscow, all of these.
There was a Mission to Moscow?
Yeah, there was.
What are the scary movies you really don't?
I'll tell you, you know, I like scary movies. The one that really jacked with my brain a little bit was Human Centipede.
I heard that was horrible. I couldn't.
It's a bad movie, but the concept just kind of mind.
Okay, help me out. I've never even heard of it.
Basically, a doctor sews people together from mouth to rear, and it's part of his crazy experiment in Germany, and it's these four, you know, it's your typical American tourist get lost.
One of the hostile type of movies.
It's not as gory, but it's just gross.
Yeah,
and it's so gross that I had to watch Human Centipede 2 and 3 too, and 3 gets a little gory and over the top, but it just kind of mind messes with you a little bit.
I've never seen any of the hostiles. I don't like the new genre of, like, gore whore, you know, gore hoary.
Well, it's gore porn.
It's exactly what it is.
I can't watch that.
Yeah.
Preacher
don't,
Man.
Don't watch Human Centipede before or after going to Golden Corral. So, just.
But go to Golden Corral. Or but just don't merge it with.
Don't make it a date night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my date night. I took my bride to Golden Corral. We watched Human Centipede. Gretchen's a lucky lady.
Preacher Man, what are some of the other ones you want to add to the list?
What about, nobody mentioned this, Hellraiser?
Oh, yeah.
Love it. It almost made my top 10.
Yeah, Pinhead. Nobody mentioned Nightmare on Elm Street.
I did.
Did you?
I did.
I wasn't listening.
But of course you are. I only liked the first one, though. After a while, it got
goofy. The original. I mean, to me, it's all the originals.
No question.
Poltergeist. Yep. You know, Halloween.
Friday the 13th.
Amityville Horror is another one.
You know, like, I'm with you in, like, The Exorcist. I watched that when I was a kid. Way too young that I should have watched it, you know, back when there was VHS tapes and you passed them around as friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched all that stuff way too young.
I think I was 14 when I saw The Exorcist.
Vision Computer Twitter poll right now at Rick and John 929. Your best or your favorite classic horror or Halloween movie series, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, or anything Stephen King. Right now, it's pretty close. Halloween at 31%, Nightmare on Elm Street 29%. Friday the 13th, 26%, and Stephen King at 14%.
Super quick, I got to tell the people about McCrae's, but I want to go around the room real quick because it's such a polarizing movie. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Blair Witch Project?
Horrible. One of the worst movies ever made.
M.O.
Brilliant. First one was great. Don't even touch the second one.
Preacher Man.
Nope.
Okay, it's 2-2. I absolutely loved it. It was a freak show. Awesome. Because I went in not knowing the story that it was fake, and I actually thought it was true. So it was awesome. All right, we are going to be the Midday Show with Rick and John live at McCrae's Tavern on Friday in Midtown from 10 to 2. So we'll be at McCrae's Tavern broadcasting live from 10 to 2. That is the Midtown location. So the live broadcast from McCrae's Tavern is brought to you by Bud Light. Here's to the beer you can always count on, America's favorite light lager, Bud Light, famous among friends.
Hey, we take a break. We come back. What happened in the ACC this weekend? Let's just say championship weekend is upon us in the ACC. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Having so much fun on Halloween. Hopefully you guys are having a spooky good time as well. And tonight it's either parties or the neighborhood with the kids, with the candy and the whole thing. And if you're, you know, like a crotchety old person, I mean, you know, like, just be nice to people, man. Like, let them in. Give them some candy. Well, don't let them in, but give them some candy. But
don't let them in. That'll have the police call.
Don't be a Halloween Scrooge. That's what I'm trying to say. Be a nice. Put some good stuff out into the atmosphere.
I want to go around the room with this one. See, we're obviously taking the kids out trick-or-treating, which means nobody will be at home. Both parents were going to walk and, you know, just kind of hang out with the kids. I'll be wearing the Michael Myers mask, scaring all the parents in our neighborhood. Do we leave a bowl of candy outside, or do you just keep the light off?
Nope. If you're not home, sorry, nobody gets candy. Okay. Either you make the decision.
You throw the candy in the trash if you're just going to leave it on the doorstep, because only one kid is going to take the candy. Nobody's respectful nowadays to take one piece and keep it moving.
Mr. Glass half full.
Oh, it's agree. That first kid's going to have the best Halloween ever. He can call it a night.
Okay, well, if you live in our neighborhood and we're not home, don't knock on the door. Lights will be off.
That's it. Either you're home, lights
that's
on.
That's the thing. If the lights off, don't bother. So I tell my kids all the time, the light's off, leave them alone.
You know, I just found that out like 2 years ago, that the outside light meant whether you could go to the house or not. We'd be walking up to any house. I don't care if the light's on or not. Dude, open the door. It's Halloween.
Speaking of that, Sunday morning, we'll get into some ACC talk here. Quick story. Sunday morning, about 10 o'clock, somebody rings the doorbell.
What?
Like, it ding dong, and I'm like, you know, lights are on, both cars in the driveway, mm-hmm. me, Charity, the dog. The dog's barking. I'm like, I'm not getting up to get the door.
No.
Are you getting up to get? I'm not getting up to get the door. So they rang again, and then they rang, and eventually they left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who does that? I'm just saying.
Jehovah's Witnesses or people selling something.
I mean, like, beat it. Like, and they have to, like, come through a gate kind of from our driveway right. to our front door. So now you're trespassing. Like, I wasn't feeling that at all.
No, I'm not a big fan
and
of
I'm not going to open the door for any stranger unless he's holding a pizza box,
well,
okay?
See, I've got the AT&T Digital Life at my house where I have cameras mounted. So if somebody rings the doorbell, I just pop open my app and I go, "Huh, don't know that person. I'm not going down there." And I'll let them ring. Now, if I see them walk around the back of the house, then I'll do the Paul Bible.
But, or you just dial 911 or holler at MO to get somebody with a chainsaw to come over to your house.
Yeah, 911 takes too long. Or I just fire up the chainsaw that I don't have in my house. I have asked
We're too wimpy for them, John.
I have asked everybody in this office, male and female, about chainsaws. And everybody in there has either used or would use a chainsaw,
What are you talking about?
Mike Conti, except Grant McCauley, Wendy Adams, Mike McKenzie. They're all like, yeah.
Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy's like, oh, I'll use a chainsaw.
Wendy's just going to fire up a chainsaw?
Yeah, why not?
Wendy's right. Like me, a military brat. We have no issues using, you know, things with sharp edges and spin around real fast.
God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Like, I can use, like, a serrated knife on a camping trip. I can use a Swiss Army knife, you know, stuff like that. You
listen,
know,
if you need...
I can use an electric can opener,
cut some
like
rope.
Is like a 5-star hotel, and the serrated knife comes in the hotel dining room.
His camping's actually at a 4-star hotel when he has to rough it.
No, actually, when we camp, which is about once a year, we go glamping. It's not camping. It's glamping.
See, I was about to say glamping. There's
it's
no
glamping.
Such thing as camping.
It is. I'll own it.
Campbell
it's glamping.
Family.
I am not going to cut down any firewood, but if you need me to put some butter on that bread, I am all over it with that knife.
I will roast the heck out of a marshmallow and a s'more.
I'm not afraid to pour you a bowl of cereal.
And I can use the electric can opener and the George Foreman. I'm just here to tell you. Let's talk some college football here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is all the guys in the car going, "We're listening to a bunch of losers. These guys can't fire up a chainsaw. I drink bourbon and eat nails for
That's
breakfast."
Cool. Nice.
You got to just because there's something. It's almost empowering because your whole body's like, "Nah, nah, 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 nah." Oh, it's phenomenal.
Okay, good. Knock yourself out
go
with
for that.
That. I'm gonna just chill over here on the sideline with a Bud Light and have a good time.
My boy Chris sends us a video of a guy like 20 feet or 100 feet up on a tree in a chainsaw. I sent back. I said, "Dude, I don't want to watch this video. I know what's going to happen. The chainsaw falls and back."
Look, people meet me, and sometimes there's like this, "Wow, you're on TV" thing, right? Mm-hmm. It does not make us better people.
Not at all.
Not make us shinier, fancier people. We're people that have great jobs. Thank mm-hmm. you, God. But some people kind of look at us like, I look at people who are doing that.
Yeah.
They are risking their lives. Yep. They are the real, you know, bad bleeps around town.
Well, who are the bad bleeps in the ACC right now? Let's look back at the games that happened this past weekend. I also want to talk about what's ahead in a giant week of the ACC as the college football poll will come out tonight. 7 o'clock, the made-for-TV show will be there. But let's look back at some of the games. The biggest game as far as ranked teams a week ago was Notre Dame at home against NC State. NC State, basically the only thing you can say for this, any chance of making the college football playoff now out the window.
No question about it. And NC State really got messed up on a bad call in terms of the pick six that went against Ryan Finley. And that occurred in the third quarter to make it 28 to 14 Notre Dame. So it's a one touchdown game. NC State is with the ball, and now you get doubled up on the scoreboard, because what happened was Ryan Filling thought it was a free play. He thought the defense was offsides, and in fact they were. Their helmets were in the neutral zone, not called. He throws the what he thought was a free play, pick six, and they didn't call a neutral zone infraction on Notre Dame. So that was huge. Losing Nyheim Hines, their star running back, was huge. But the bottom line is this. Notre Dame beat NC State, man. Like, it would have been closer than 35-14 had Hines been healthy and had they not made that call. Probably would have been a one-touchdown game. But give it up to Notre Dame and their guy Josh Adams, who's averaging about 9 yards per carry.
Yeah.
And he has entered the fringe of the Heisman consideration. And, John, even like a couple spots back from him, Brandon Wimbush is starting to kind of enter the fringe of the Heisman talk.
Well, unfortunately, the Heisman doesn't award it to offensive linemen ever. Matt McGlinchey and their left guard are absolutely road grading people right now. You want to beat Notre Dame, you better figure out a way to fire through those gaps and slow down Josh Adams. You've got to do what Georgia did. You got to put pressure for Brandon Wimbush to make plays. I'm still not overly impressed with their passing game, but they've had 4 games this year where they've run for over 300 yards. That's option football-esque, and they're running a pro-style offense.
And, John, you know, another point I want to make about Notre Dame, and I said this last week, and this is why, you know, NC State, they're my boys. I love them. I love a lot of their players. We're going to be watching them on Sunday, but I didn't take them plus the points because Notre Dame is housing everybody except Georgia. They beat Temple 49-16. They beat BC 49-20. Michigan State 38-18. Miami of Ohio 52-17. North Carolina with their backup quarterback 33-10. USC 49-14. And NC State 35-14. They're blowing everybody out, John. Notre Dame is for real.
Yeah, and they're going to be a team that's going to get a lot of love in the college football playoff rankings, no doubt in my mind. Let's move on to another team that's still got national title aspirations. Clemson, after a bye week, they needed it after the injury. Take care of Georgia Tech, 24-10. Unfortunately for Tech, you had to play in the slop and the mire that was a driving rainstorm there in Clemson, South Carolina. It doesn't matter. When you're going against Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins and Cleland Farrell, those guys destroy the option. You've got big, fast players that penetrate. They did it a year ago. They did it this year. Kervante Benson fumbles early on. Clemson's up 21-3 at halftime. And you knew at that point Georgia Tech had no chance of coming back.
And that was a big fumble, but we got to give it up for Kervante Benson. He averaged 8.1 yards a carry against Clemson. And obviously the system deserves credit too. 16 carries, 129 yards for Benson. He was the bright spot. Mm-hmm. And to me, the fact that, once again, the Tech defense is just a little bit better than you thought they would be, right? And that we've been saying that all year, holding Miami down a little bit, holding Clemson down. John, Clemson puts 4 touchdowns on the board. That's what they do.
Yep.
They weren't able to do that, and obviously the rain had something to do with it, but let's give Tech some credit. They hold Clemson to 3 points in the second half of that football game, and it ended up being a push. Clemson was a 2-touchdown favorite, so not a bad look for Georgia Tech to me.
No, and unfortunately, though, for Taquan Marshall, the two best defenses he's played against, he's been completely neutralized. They go against Clemson this week, 15 carries, 23 yards, and he had a 22-yard carry. So his other 14 carries netted 1 yard. I thought Fowler and Herb Street did a good job showing that he was a little indecisive, and when you're going against a team like Clemson, you've got to be razor sharp with your decision making and your accuracy pitching the ball, and he was not that over the weekend.
Fowler and Herb Street had to be like, what are we doing here? They had to be like, what are we doing?
Oh, talking about where they're sitting?
Oh, yeah, no. In terms of, they should have had, well, all the stud games in the 3:30 window.
Yeah.
Fowler and Herb Street.
Well, they should have
like,
had
really
Ohio State,
Clemson,
Penn State,
and Georgia Tech.
Yeah, they should have had Ohio State, Penn State.
No, but I'm just saying we can move on. But I'm sure Fowler and Herb Street were kind of like, all right, here we go. This is a boring game.
Elsewhere in the ACC, my Hurricanes. Well, wasn't impressive again, but a win's a win, and they're 7-0.
John, I'm objective about your Canes. They're your Canes. I watch since the third game, I'm watching every play of every game because Miami is great football theater. They make it tough on themselves, but yet they make big plays, and they're a very entertaining team to watch. But, dude, you guys are the ricketiest undefeated team. I mean, it is so many mistakes and miracles. You've needed 2 miracles to stay undefeated. John, I'm feeling some kind of way about your squad. I'm feeling some kind of way in terms of it feels like you've been flirting with disaster and living, and I feel like you can't do that all year. And I'm not rooting against your guys, John. I like this Canes team. But you know that they're leaving themselves in a perilous position every single week, and you can't do that against Virginia Tech. John, Virginia Tech has the second-best scoring defense in the in all of college football. 11.5 points per game they're allowing. The only team better, Alabama, at 9.8. I'm just saying, Virginia Tech is going to be a tough, tough matchup for you guys.
No doubt about it, but I will caution you. Virginia Tech's played two teams with a pulse. Both of those teams scored 30 points on their defense. That's Clemson and West Virginia. The other teams that they've played, the Old Dominions of the world, the East Carolinas of the world, they all struggle. No knock on Virginia Tech. Miami better bring – they brought their C-plus game the last month of the season. They scraped by with a bunch of that. They're not going to be able to do it against Virginia Tech. I will say this, though. Miami's defense – has been very opportunistic. Seven interceptions the last 2 weeks. Their top three most statistical categories in college football. They got a defense.
The turnover chain is working, John. Those kids get so excited about that turnover chain. And you see, like, diving interceptions where the kid, without the turnover chain, might have been like, all right, I'll make an effort for it. Now they have to get that football to get the turnover chain and to get the pictures and get all the love. I'm telling you, I think the turnover chain is working. I bet you two or three of those picks and fumbles have come because of that turnover chain.
Well, I know they love it. ESPN, I thought, did a little mockery of it. They had a sideline reporter this week that, okay, the first time you put a chain on, you say, oh, it's the ESPN turnover chain. It's funny. Cool. The fact that you're still doing it in the fourth quarter and she had, like, Mardi Gras beads on and all this other nonsense.
Well, I watched that game with the sound, and she said she was putting a new chain on every time that one of the players got a turnover. Okay. I mean, she said
I was okay with it.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid. Not as bad as the play-by-play and the color commentator on the game. That was the F squad for ESPN. Kelly Stoffer and whoever the heck else was on the game. They were bad.
I disagree.
I thought they were bad.
I disagree. I think they did a solid job.
Yeah, they were not.
But
good.
I don't know. We can move on. I thought they were fine. I don't know the name of the play by Benetti, something like that. The play by play guy. I thought it was pretty.
They
good
were
broadcast.
Chippy with each other. They were kind of yelling at each other. I could do without.
Well, they kind of. It's a little bit like a Bob Wischusen broadcast where he has opinions and generates, like, debates during the game. That's kind of their vibe. That's kind of what they do. And I was just
angry at the play that was on the field.
I think that's what was going
just
on.
Keep
there.
Winning. That's all I care about. Hey, Louisville. Well, again, this is why I'll never pick Louisville again. They go on the road.
They should
away
be
for
dead
us.
To you, John.
Well, they're dead. 42-32. They're now 5-4 on the season. And the rumor is Bobby Petrino might be looking for greener pastures, Tennessee.
If I'm Tennessee, I don't want Bobby Petrino. Get the hell out of here with that stuff. It's the most undisciplined team in college football.
No. The most undisciplined team plays for Tennessee. Butch Jones might have the most undisciplined, and Louisville's not far behind.
I don't know about that. I mean, Tennessee almost beat Kentucky at Kentucky last week, despite all their problems. So I'll go ahead and disagree with you on that. And Louisville got dorched, as in Greg Dortch. Mm-hmm. 4 touchdowns, 10 grabs, and he suffers an abdominal injury that is going to force him to miss the rest of the year. That is great news for Notre Dame because Wake is at South Bend this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And Wake's one of those sneaky good teams, and you'll see how that plays out without Greg Dortch, who's been a tremendous freshman for the Demon Deacons. Final game in another monsoon. Virginia Tech takes care of Duke 24-3, and they'll be ready to hit the road. So let's talk about the ACC for a second. This weekend is basically championship weekend in the ACC. North Carolina State has a game at Carter-Finley Stadium against the Clemson Tigers with an opportunity to seize control of the Atlantic Division in the ACC. Can NC State rise to the occasion after a tough loss to Notre Dame?
I believe they can. I don't think NC State is done in terms of their motivation to keep playing good football. They lost to an awesome team, and they didn't get embarrassed. They lost 35-14, and we just documented some of the stuff that the adversity that they had to face. John, this is going to be one of the games of the year, and I anticipate this being a high-scoring football game. Clemson's not going to roll into NC State and just shut down Finley and Samuels and Kelvin Harmon and all their terrific players, and I don't believe – I see a game that's going to be like 34-27, hovering around 30 points. Do you agree, or do you see a more defensive game?
I see more defensive game. I just don't see where NC State against that Clemson defense. Clemson is the classic rise-to-the-occasion team. When they know something's on the line, they play their best football. NC State wins this game for all intents and purposes. They're going to be the Atlantic Division champions. Now, they have 3 games afterwards at BC, at Wake, North Carolina. They would have to then lose 2 or 3 games because Clemson's already lost a conference game for them to catapult over top of them. So for NC State, everything's in front of them. You can win the ACC Atlantic Division if you win this game. I just don't know if their offense is good enough. I know they've had some really good moments this year. Clemson can become a clamp-down defense when they need to. I expect this game to be played in the low 20s, 24-21, 24-17, somewhere in that mix.
Interesting. And in terms of NC State, they are 4-0 in the ACC.
Yep.
That Notre Dame loss does not hurt them in terms – because of that. It's so stupid, right? I mean, Notre Dame, just join the freaking conference. But nevertheless, they're undefeated. So I think that Clemson's going to get a great, great punch from NC State. I can't wait to watch this football game.
Now, elsewhere, Clemson, when you look at the rest of their schedule, if they win this game – it's Florida State is the only other team they have in conference play. So you could go ahead and pencil them in to the Atlantic Division Championship.
They're going
to
beat Florida State by 50 points.
And it would be nice to see.
They're going to be – Florida State has let go of the rope.
Good section still available there in Tallahassee.
And thank God we're not talking stupidly about Jimbo Fisher's job security. Thank the good Lord that that has not reached the college football conversation, because I would bat it out of the air like Dikembe in a Geico commercial.
No, but there's two guys that need to be fired immediately for Florida State. Charles Kelly, bye-bye, is the defensive coordinator, and Rick Trickett, their offensive line coach, bye-bye. They've been bad on the offensive line for 4 or 5 years. Bye-bye. Those two guys will be gone as soon as Florida State and Florida finish their 8 a.m. game in November. The other game that's basically an ACC de facto championship game, Miami actually can mathematically clinch the conference, the Coastal Division, for the first time ever. They've got Virginia Tech primetime, ABC. That's if Georgia Tech beats Virginia and Miami wins.
If Miami finally plays a clean football game, they will walk off the field victoriously. If they continue to play the way they have, making mistakes all over the field, they ain't going to beat Vatek doing that.
Totally agree. I think that game's also played in the low 20s. Two really good defenses going after it. Hey, let's do the same thing in the SEC for Georgia. We're going to kind of ask a question right here as well that'll turn into a college football cheat sheet. Are they the number one team in the country? We'll also recap what's going on in the SEC on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Or, you know, offensively, we didn't execute real well. The series we did, it was great. But when we didn't, times went backwards.
All right, 42-7, and Kirby Smart nitpicking. And we love it. It should be about the pursuit of perfection, because to win it all in college football, pretty much got to be damn close to perfect, man. Nick Saban has taught us all that, right? Rick Kamla, John Michaels, talking college football. It's the 11 o'clock hour. This is what we do. You found us, and congratulations to you on that here on a Halloween. Hopefully you're having a good one. I want to tell you about College Football Game Time, because this Saturday, that nomadic show is going to be on the road. Again, it's presented by Bud Light, and it's going to be at Stats. I love Stats. Stats is one of my favorite sports bars in all of Atlanta. And so they're going to be at Stats. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, John Fricke broadcasting live, as usual, from 11 to 3, talking all things college football. You will be enjoying cold beer. They won't, unless their show is over, and then maybe. But delicious food, great TV set up there. It's College Football Game Time at Stats, presented by Bud Light. Here's to the beer you can always count on, America's favorite light lager, Bud Light. John, it's famous among friends.
I've heard that. You know, friends like to be famous, and famous things like to be friends.
Now, friends like to give other friends a Bud Light. But if me or Mark Owens gave you a Bud Light, you would eschew the Bud Light. And
I would give it to somebody more willing and able to drink it. How about that? Find a listener who wanted a Bud Light and say, hey,
John,
here you go.
It's not like John likes Coors Light or Miller Light. He's just not a beer guy.
Nope.
So, but I'm a big Bud Light fan. I like Bud Light a lot. It's my favorite. It is my favorite light lager, John.
Okay.
Well, of all the American light lagers, Bud Light is my fave.
Well, one of the favorite things that's going on right now is to pile on the University of Florida. Mark Owens was showing me some of his Halloween costumes gone by, where he is dressed as a Florida fan. I'm a little disappointed, Mark, after a 42-7 teeth kicking. And that's funny to say teeth kicking, being that Jim McElwain got fired. A 42-7 teeth kicking, that you did not come in here as an angry Florida fan or just dressed like Bo does every day.
I have the costume. I have this outfit. And I'll post a picture of it from a couple of years ago, my go-to Florida costume. And I was ready to put it on this morning, but I was running late.
Mm-hmm.
It does take a little bit of time to look that beautiful. It takes a little bit of time to make sure your unibrow is drawn in perfectly. You got to make sure the wig and the mullet
has
got
flowing
enough Aquanet on it to hold it in place.
Aquanet.
So got to make sure the teeth just have the right amount of yellow teeth stain on it. Mm-hmm. So it takes a little bit of time to get it ready. But I'll.
Did you actually go with like Skull? Because I took a pack of cigarettes and rolled it up in the shirt when I dressed as a Gator fan.
No, I did not. But on this one, it's pretty good. The hardest part was when you're dressing like a Gator fan, you got to buy the Gator gear.
Yeah.
And that hurt. And that hurt and was not proud of that, but it's pretty good.
The good thing this year is it's probably at the 99-cent store, so you can just pop in there and grab
something. You actually get tickets to a couple upcoming games. At Rick and John 929. At Rick and John 929.
Here's the problem with Jim McElwain. Dude's got bad hair. Like, who rocks the feathered hair? Like, he's got, the side part.
Like he's Bobby from Karate Kid.
It's like that haircut is from the 70s, bruh. And don't you just want to take a Florida hat and put it on his head? And just so you can cover up, like, if it's raining, if it's sunny, no matter the weather, Jim McElwain not wearing a hat. And by the way, I heard an interview with Steve Spurrier, and he said he's actually kind of a Kirby Smart fan. You're like, wait a minute. He always throws shade on Georgia. What's up with that? He says he likes Kirby because he's a visor coach.
Oh, okay.
How cool is that?
Click clack.
He's like, yeah, he wears that visor, so I kind of like him. I kind of like him wearing that visor.
You know what it is about Jim McElwain? He looks like a bad guy from an 80s movie.
Totally.
Doesn't look like he's
not
like,
even a movie. He looks like a bad guy from like an 80s television series.
No, he's like the bad guy.
Like he was on TJ Hooker or something like that.
He's the guy that's like running the bad drug cartel in Miami.
Fall Guy, that's a great one. Like he was the bad guy on the A-team that B.A. Baracus had to get after.
So, John, let's talk SEC here, man. And last week in your college football fantasy league, I had a showdown with Brian Gebhardt, our main man, BG. He's a damn good dog. And, a big part of the Dukes and Bell show right now. We love BG. Shout out to him. He had Sony Michel and the Georgia defense.
Ouch.
And so Sony Michel, I see him. Okay, cool. All right, fine. He rips off it. I had a big lead on him too, right? Okay, that's fine. He rips off a 74-yard run, whatever. Okay, that's fine. And then he rips off another like 60 or 70-yard run. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then Felipe Franks, of course, John, had to have that stupid soft butt fumble that I don't know who for Georgia just scooped it up and got. John, you or me could have picked up that ball and walked into the end zone for a touchdown without even pads on. And so anyway, I ended up beating BG. And again, shout out to him. It was a battle. Deontay Burnett scored a touchdown at like 11:30 at night that kind of sealed the deal. But nevertheless, John, that was a beatdown. And Georgia is so balanced. John, I don't think they hid Jake Fromm in this game.
They just didn't need
him. With seven pass attempts. So I want to make this point to people because haters and the nitpickers are going to be like, you're hiding Fromm. He's not a – no. How many times do we have to tell you? When a coach can just run the football 50 or 60 times and get out of Dodge with a 40-3 win, he's going to do it every single time, no matter who his quarterback is. If Belichick knew he could run the ball with Burkhead and Gillislee and all these guys 60 times and demolish a team 28-0 and move on with his stupid, boring life, Tom Brady would not have a good fantasy day that day. Every coach will run if they can run. So they're not hiding from.
You know what's funny? The last time Georgia won a national championship, this was kind of the same exact offense they ran. They had this guy named Herschel Walker who they handed it to over and over and over again, and the quarterback didn't have to do anything. As a matter of fact, he threw one pass to Lindsey Scott and made a big completion there and got you into a national title game, and outside of that, it was turned and handed to Herschel. Why don't you keep following that same MO? Florida knew coming into this week that Georgia was going to run the football. And they ran it for 292 yards with Florida knowing all along, here it comes, you can't stop it.
Tell them what their average per rush was, John.
Let's see. I don't have that right in front of me.
All right,
course,
sorry. So. I thought you had the box in front of you. 8.3.
There you go.
8.3. You don't need to pass the football even one time.
Yeah, that's almost a first
down.
And
I'm using the wrong finger to display the number one here, but you don't. It's ridiculous, dude. But have you heard people? I've heard people taking shots at Georgia and Fromm because he only passed it seven times. Oh, and it's like, stop it.
Those are people that didn't watch the game. I mean, if he had to throw, he could throw. He didn't have to throw. He threw one bad interception, and I thought that was a miscommunication between him. And I forgot who was. I think it was Swift running up the side. He thought Swift was going to break up. Swift went out and never went up the field, and he threw it right to Duke Dawson.
But Jake Fromm threw a better back shoulder touchdown pass to Wims than Matt Ryan did on the other side of the end zone to Julio. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Georgia only had 14 first downs in the game. They didn't need it. Florida actually had more first downs and better third down conversion.
That's hard to believe.
Florida
actually
had 196 yards of total offense.
Wow.
Georgia had 393.
That's crazy, dude. That is crazy. All right.
Let me ask you this real quick.
What's up?
Should Georgia be number one in the first college football poll?
Nope.
Okay.
Very close. 1A. I
I got to give Alabama the benefit of the doubt. I know they haven't played anybody, but they're smashing everybody at the same time. If they had had, you know, a three-point win against Tennessee or something, then I would put Georgia up there. But Alabama's resume is feckless. And I know they haven't played anybody, but the resume is feckless.
Yeah, they had a close-ish game against Texas A&M. And I say close-ish. They were never really in any, you know, danger of losing that football game.
That was at Texas A&M, though, right?
Colorado State was closer than the experts said. And the Florida State game was close into the second half, and then it fell apart.
Well, as we documented, Saban and Bama took it easy on the Bobo family.
Yeah.
In that, I mean, he said it before the game. And I told you all that Alabama wasn't going to cover that spread because of that. And because Colorado State, oh, by the way, has one of the best QB wideout combos in all of college football. So, John, last week in the SEC, some games that were kind of nondescript. You had Arkansas with a huge comeback over Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. You had South Carolina beating Vanderbilt 34-27. South Carolina is sneaky at 6-2.
Yeah.
They're having a nice solid season, John.
They are, and Georgia will get a chance this weekend to play against South Carolina. I don't see the Gamecocks scoring enough points to really keep this close. Georgia should be able to do what they've done pretty much to everybody else. Mark, you though, you did mention something that could be a fear for Georgia fans because there's a little game down at Auburn next weekend.
Yeah, you're coming off of Florida. Yeah, it was a blowout game, but that's still a travel game. It's essentially an away game. They didn't get in until super late on Saturday night because of the weather. Getting prepared for South Carolina. Luckily, it's at home. But then you're always kind of looking towards next week, going to Auburn. They haven't even announced the time yet. So they're going to see what happens this week against when Auburn – Auburn and Texas A&M, and then Georgia and South Carolina before they even announce what time the Auburn game is. So you don't want them to get caught in the cliche trap. Here's South Carolina.
It could be. But if it's a trap game, Georgia wins by 10 instead
right.
of 30.
Exactly.
Like that's my take on that. If it's a trap game, then I think they may give up a couple more scores than they should. But come on, man. Georgia's beating South Carolina. If it was at South Carolina, John, I may listen to the trepidation a little bit. I ain't listening to that. They're better on paper, and they're going to prove it on the field.
Real quick, early on in this search, already a couple of names have been thrown around for Jim McElwain's replacement. I've seen Willie Taggart as a name that was thrown out there yesterday. There was some ridiculous report that Steve Spurrier's name had been thrown around, that maybe he goes back to Florida. I know Bo, like Scott Frost, would love to see him move over from Orlando right up the road a little bit to Gainesville. Where do you think Florida goes with this?
Butch Jones. When he's fired from Tennessee, fire up the press conference, Butch Jones. He should be the next coach of the Gators. I know dog fans love hearing that. John, I like your Chip Kelly call. Now, we talked to Bo Morgan before he left just moments ago. He does not want Chip Kelly, and he wants Scott Frost. I think Scott Frost is a no-brainer, but there's going to be a bidding war. If I'm Tennessee, I want Scott Frost. If I'm Nebraska, I want Scott Frost. If I'm Florida, I want Scott Frost. That dude's going to get paid, John.
Hey, man, as long as it's not that old overrated Jim Harbaugh, hey, man, I'm going to be all right. Chip Kelly costs too much doggone money. We know Gators don't spend that kind of money.
Hey, they want to make the offense fun again? Chip Kelly would do that.
I think Florida needs a big hire. They've went the cheaper, known assistant type name with Will Muschamp and Jim McElwain. They got to make a splash.
All right, so if Kelly's a home run, is Frost a triple?
He's the hot name right now. So is Matt Campbell. I still don't know that either one of those are home runs as of yet. Take a break. We come back. College football cheat sheet next. 404-741-0929. It's our phone number and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Let's predict who will be the top four in the college football playoff when the ranking comes out tonight on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
The game is everywhere. The only place in Atlanta to hear the NFL. Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night.
More clean, we call it. Execute the assignments. And, you know, we get sloppy. And that's the disappointing part. You're looking to play a clean game, and we get sloppy in the second half several times.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And the College Football Cheat Sheet is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. Hi, Rick Kamla, John Michaels. We're in the Kia Studios. We got our boys by our side, Preacher Man and M.O. And we are going to do an interactive thing with you. We want you to call right now, 404-741-0929, because our college football question of the day is interactive. That's what it's all about. We want to hear from you. We love debating and talking with you college football fans. So holler at the Preacher Man, 404-741-0929. Here's what we're doing. We are going to predict what the College Football Committee does tonight when they come out with their first rankings. And then John and I will tell you who our actual top fours are. And at 1 o'clock with Knox Bardeen, we will bicker, and we will unveil our top tens and our Heisman rankings and all of that. So let's get cracking.
All right, here's how I think it's going to play out. You guys can call 404-741-0929, as Rick just mentioned. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Here's my prediction for the top four in order, 1 through 4. Number one in my prediction will be the University of Georgia. That's how I think they're going to do it tonight.
Really?
Number two will be the Alabama Crimson Tide. I think number three will be, in order to avoid Georgia and Notre Dame playing again, they will have Notre Dame number three, and I think Ohio State will be number four. Let me give you the rationale behind especially the last two.
And again, this is who John thinks the committee will pick.
It's not how I would vote, but that's how I think the committee will vote. Name recognition. The two of the biggest names in college football are Notre Dame and Ohio State. We saw a year ago in that committee room the weight that the Ohio State program holds. I hate to tell you, when they're good, Notre Dame holds more of a pull than Ohio State. That's where I have it. So I have Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State. That's how I think the committee will vote tonight.
All right, here's how we have a couple of differences here, and thank God for that. I hate it when we agree on college football. Number one, I think the committee is going to have Alabama number one, and I think they're going to debate about Georgia, Alabama, and I think because I think there's a big-time benefit of the doubt thing that goes on with the college football playoff committee, kind of like what John just talked about with Ohio State, name recognition, brand name, all that kind of stuff. So I think Bama will be one. I think UGA will be two. John, number three, I believe will be Ohio State.
Okay.
Because Ohio State just gave the committee maybe the win of the year and maybe the game of the year. So I believe that there will be a little bit of that recency bias, a little bit of that name brand name recognition as well. And that all leads to OSU being number three. And I believe, John, that Clemson will be number four. And again, we are trying to predict what the committee will do tonight. I think they will go Bama, UGA, Ohio State, and Clemson. You're right with Notre Dame. I'm not going to debate with you at all on that. It's either going to me, it's going to be UGA and Bama for sure, and then it's going to be two of three teams, Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. It'll be two of those three teams. And I think they're going to go to Ohio State and Clemson and not put Notre Dame in. But I believe Notre Dame will be five.
Do you think there'll be anything screwy that could go on? We have seen in the past. Remember there was an opening week where Texas A&M was number four, and everybody's going, what? How is Texas A&M? Then they had Trevor Knight. How is this team number four?
Here, John, great question. Here's how it could get screwy. And this is weird because you and I have Wisconsin and Miami at 3-4 or 4-3 because they're undefeated. But I think when people look at Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame, these are one-loss teams, but they have more prestige and maybe even better resumes than the undefeated teams. So if they wanted to get screwy, you would have Wisconsin at 3-4 or Miami at 3-4. That, I think, could be a curveball tonight.
What do you have as your top four?
Right now, my top four is Alabama, it's UGA, it's Wisconsin, and it's Miami. And it makes me sick and want to puke that I have to put Wisconsin up that high. But they're 8-0, and Miami's 7-0. And Miami is a rickety 7-0. They are a delicate, fragile 7-0 in terms of how they've gotten there. But, John, they're 7-0.
They are. I have the exact same top four because I have a thing. If you're a Power 5 school and you're undefeated, I will not put a one-loss team in front of you, especially at this point of the season.
Me too.
So that's where I stand with that. Let's go to the phones, 404-741-0929. Pat, you'll lead us off on the college football cheat sheet. How do you think it'll be voted tonight?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Pat?
I hope and pray as an Alabama fan that they put Georgia number one, because Saban will use that all the way to Atlanta. But I don't know where they'll go. I have Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Okay. So the only difference, Pat, that you have between me and you is you have Ohio State ahead of Notre Dame, which I can see that happening,
too. No doubt.
Too.
No doubt about it.
Could you see a scenario, and this is just off the wall, Alabama's strength of schedule is not that good. Can you see a scenario where they have Bama down at four?
No way.
No.
No, Bama won't be lower than two. UGA might be number one. And look, Nick Saban doesn't need bulletin board material.
Rat poison!
But he'll use it. And he, look, Nick Saban wants, and Emma, we're going to hear from Nick Saban later on in the show, right? Was that a good soundbite? Pretty good. Nick Saban talking about how he couldn't care less about the college football playoff rankings. But you know what, John? There's a little bit of a lie in there because if Georgia's one and Bama's two, then he's got all kinds of wood to throw on the fire.
Yeah, and poor LSU will get the brunt of all that punishment. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon, how do you think it's going to play out tonight in the college football rankings?
I think it's going to be a game of name recognition. I think it's going to be more of what you've already seen. Probably Bama at one, Georgia at two, Ohio State at three, and Clemson at four. And I don't think that Wisconsin's even going to crack the top five because we all know what Wisconsin is. Wisconsin is the shark in the back of the boat that Jim McElwain's laying on top of. They're just waiting to be taken advantage of by Ohio State. So, and as far as that game went Saturday, Rick, if you could take a movie clip and make what Georgia-Florida was, it was Wider walking into the Oriental and slapping Johnny Tyler around and dared him to do something, and all he did was just stand there and bleed.
Brandon, yeah, that dude's the best, man. That dude is the best. Brandon, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate everybody calling here during our college football question of the day.
Yeah, let's go to Brendan. Brendan, how do you think this is going to play out when it comes to the college football rankings tonight?
I'm thinking Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3 because of that awesome comeback against Penn State, even though I hate to see that. And then Notre Dame at four. And if you take a look at the past 3 or 4 years, however long the playoffs have been going on, whoever's been number one has not gone on to win the national title when their first revealing of the rankings.
Wow. I did not know that one. And that, boy, if you're Georgia, do you not want to be ranked number one now?
Not
hey,
anymore.
We'll be number three. We're good.
I don't want to be on the cover of Madden either if I'm a football player. But in terms of that stat right there, look, Alabama has not played anybody, so maybe they will lose when they actually play somebody, John. That's why we play these football games, right?
Mm-hmm,
that's why we tune in every Saturday. Now, they're probably going to win. Alabama the rest of the way, ladies and gentlemen, has LSU this week. Then they have Mississippi State at Starkville, and that is not a layup. That is going to be a relatively difficult game. Then you've got Mercer, and then you've got Auburn, and that game is away. So this is not – look – Alabama's not guaranteed of anything, dude. They have but let me say this. LSU has no shot.
No.
None. No shot at all. They could play this game 100 times at 100 different venues, and Alabama would be 100-0.
Yeah, so, you're
and
right.
The point spread's like 21.5 points. I'm actually kind of looking at that for a six-pack on Friday.
Hey, let's go to the phones, 404-741-0929. DeMarquez, you're up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How do you think it's going to be ranked tonight?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing good. How you doing?
Great.
I'm doing good. I'm going with Georgia number one. I'm going with Alabama number two. Number three, I'm going with Notre Dame. And number four, I'm going with Clemson.
All right. Clemson being in there at number four, that's an interesting one as well.
So we care about the college football playoff rankings, but Alabama football coach Nick Saban doesn't.
I could care less about the poll. What significance does a poll have right now? I mean, all we're talking about here is the challenge of our season and where are we going to be in the poll if we don't play well in the next four games. I'm focusing on the next four games. I could care less about the poll. You won't see me wasting any time watching TV or watching who's one, who's two, and it really doesn't matter.
That's Nick Saban. Let's grab one more before we go to break. Omar, what's your top four? How do you think it'll play out tonight?
It'll go Georgia, Ohio State, no, I'm sorry, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Penn State, because they're not going to give Georgia any love.
Wow, got Georgia all the way down at number three.
And how dare Nick Saban diminish the importance and the significance of the poll? A lot of ladies around town pay the bills off that poll, Nick.
All right, we'll move on to the Atlanta Falcons when we get back from the break. What's your confidence level now that we're 4-3? In the exact same spot that we were a year ago with 9 games to play. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
The Bunker Mentality with Andy Bunker.
What do you think happened in that meeting? Like, what does Deshaun...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.